Here today is going to be related to the time of the year. It will be dealing with Purim. It will deal with Parashas Truma. It's going to be a montage of a number of ideas and thoughts. I think it may even be a very pleasant challenge of fascinating ideas. Number one on your source sheet is the introduction that was written by the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, to the laws of the four parashiyot, the Arba parashiyot. You already learned this morning about Parashat Shkalim. There are four parashiyot, four special Torah readings, in beginning from before Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Adar, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Let's look quickly through what he says. In brief, I'm going to explain the fourth parashiyot, and that is that Chazal, our rabbis, tiknu likrot dalet parashiyot bashana. They legislated that we should read four special parashiyot in Torah in the year, during the course of the year, Rosh Chodesh Adar, from the first of Adar until the first of Nisan, lezichron, as a commemoration of four things, and these are what they are. Harishona, the first one, is Parshas Shkalim. That is to commemorate lezichron mitzvah machatzit hashekel. It was a mitzvah to give a half a shekel during the time that the Beit Hamikdash was in existence. She invited the samuch that will be later explained. They would give to the office of the Beit HaMikdash to be used for the daily sacrifices, so that every Jew had a share in the daily sacrifices that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash. So half a shekel was given. So therefore we read this Parashas Shabbos, we read the Parashas Shkalim, which is at the beginning of Parashat Ki Tisa, where it says you're going to count the people of Israel. You don't count people, you count half shekels. We don't count Jews, or you know, we used to count nisht eins, nisht zwei, nisht zah, not one, not two, not three, you understand. And then there are all sorts of ways in which to count, but we don't count heads, so what we do is we count the half shekel. And that half shekel went to the Beit HaMikdash. The Shniyah, the second parasha, is Parasha Zachar. And this year Parasha Zachar, as always, is the Shabbos that immediately precedes Purim, which means that this year we have between Parashat Shkalim and Parashat Zachor, there is a pause. There is a Shabbos with no special reading. Parashat Truma is just going to be plain, wonderful Parashat Truma. And then the week following, we're going to have Parashat Zachor. What's Parashat Zachor all about? Lizkor Mas Amalek, to remember that which Amalek did. The Koran Altar, and we read it, the Shabbat Shalafnei Purim, the Shabbos before Purim. The Somcho Lemaisa Shehoyo Mizer Amalek, in order that it should be close to that act in history that came from the seed of Amalek, which of course is Haman Ha'agogi, who wanted to destroy the entire Jewish people. So that before we do the mitzvahs that are involved in the destruction of Amalek, we remember that there is such a mitzvah in Torah. As it says in the Megillah, these days are remembered and are done. Zechira comes before Asiya. Zachor et asher osa locha Amalek. Remember that which Amalek did to you when you went out of Egypt. And then Asiya is what comes on Purim itself.
Like machshava chila
lemaaseh. Machshava before maaseh. Very nice. Okay. Very good. Right. Hashlishit, the third special Shabbos, is Parshas Horaduma, the red heifer. V'hi b'Shabbos Shekodem Parshas HaKodesh. That's the Shabbos that precedes Parshat Achodesh. Shekain, Hayosvei Fatoba Midbar Samach. Listen, the burning of the Parah Aduma took place right before Chodesh Nisan when they were in the desert. Okay, and this year it's going to work out that after Shabbos Zachor, the very following parasha is going to be Kisisa Parshas Parah, and then immediately afterwards is going to come Vayakel Pikudei Shabbos HaChodesh. Alright? It was done in the Midbar in the desert before Chodesh Nisan, so they should be able to sprinkle from the ashes of the Parah Aduma upon the Jewish people immediately after Hakamat HaMishkan, after the Mishkan was established, Kadeshi Tahorim, so that they should be pure, V'yuchul Lazach HaPesach Bezmano, so they should be able to make the Korban Pesach in its time, which is going to be the 14th of Nisan. Kach Kodim Parsha, so that's where we read this Parsha. Lit Palel Fanavi Barach, we pray before God, Shekam Aleinu Yisrof Mayim Tahorim in Mehera, that God should sprinkle upon us waters of purification speedily. And the fourth is Parashat HaChodesh, the Shabbos that comes immediately before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in order to sanctify Chodesh Nisan, as it says in Torah. What parasha do we read? We read the parasha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem in Parashat Bo, this month shall be the first of months, with the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is given to the Jewish people for the first time. It's told to them in the desert. It's in Mitzrayim. It is their preparation for the exodus from Egypt. The real sanctification of the new moon is when one sees the moon, Shemakachin Otar Betin, the Betin sanctifies it, Ve'en HaKriya HaZot, the reading of the parasha is not that which sanctifies the new moon, that's only Midrabanan. Alright, so we have these four parashas. Parashas Shkolin, which beginning of Kisisa, parashas Zohar, which is at the end of Parashas Shoftim in Sefer Dvorim Zohar, remember that which Amalek did to you when you were on your way out of Egypt. The third is Parashas Torah. That's the one that is the beginning of Parashas Chukas Zos, Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of Torah. And the entire description of how to prepare the red heifer so that the ashes can be used in order to purify the Jewish people. And the fourth is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. I want to say the following. I believe that the Arba Parashiyot correspond to something else that has the number four. We are moving into that part of the year where the number four becomes an extremely important number. There are four questions. There are four cups of wine. And then there are four sons. Keneged arba banim divra Torah. The Torah is speaking, addressing itself to the four sons. One is the Chacham, the wise one. Echad Chosha. One is a Chosha. One is a Tam, and we'll describe each one of them. The Echad, and one is She'eni Yodei Elisha. One doesn't know how to answer. These are four children. And Torah tells us that on the night of Pesach, parents have to be able to address each one of their children in the kind of language and in the manner and the form in which they will be able to understand it. We have to recognize that there are individual differences. We have to take those individual differences into consideration. I want to say the following. Each one of the Arba Parashiyot corresponds to another one of the children. If you want to know what to tell to each one of them, or if you want to know what is the essential nature of each one of these children, you just read these parashas and you're going to be ready for the night of the Seder. The first parasha is Parsha Shkolim. Parsha Shkolim is the Chacham. Why is Parsha Shkolim the Chacham? So I say the following. What's Shkolim all about? First of all, Shkolin talks of counting Klal Yisrael. Who makes up the body of the Jewish people? A Chacham is one who firmly stands up and is counted with the Jewish people. He also knows that he is not a complete Chacham without a fellow Jew. He's only a half a shekel. He's not a whole shekel. He also knows the following. The half shekels that are given in Parshat Ki Tisa were used for two purposes. One was to construct the Mishkan, the great undertaking of building that Mishkan, and the Chacham knows that in that kind of construction to build a sanctuary for God, he wants to be part of it. He also knows that he wants to share in the sacrifices that are going to be brought in the Mishkan and afterwards in the Beit HaMikdash. The Chacham knows precisely where he wants to be. He wants to be in the midst of and part of that people, and that he is inextricably intertwined with them. He is one with them, and that's where he wants to be. That's the Chacham. Echad Chosha. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I have this feeling, and they say Hasidic, there was Hasidic Rebbes, that would not refer to the second son as the Lashon. That's a little sharp. They would call him HaBen HaSheni, the second son. Instead of saying of Sayyidish kin, though he strays and may have strayed very far, the term Lashon you have to say for us. Somebody who really deserves it, you know. So this kid, he's there to say there, and of course, as we talked, he's there to say that to aggravate the kishkas out of his parents. You understand? That's really what he's doing. He has nothing better to do but come to the Seder and say, hey, pa, what's all this? What's all this for you? What does it all mean? Come on, give me a break, pa. But you really, in a sense, you have to pity him. You have to pity him. Unfortunately, he has strayed. For that matter, it may even be that his parents in some way are guilty, because the fact is that parents are guilty of everything that goes wrong with kids. And if you don't know it, they'll let you know. There's no question about it. We always did the wrong thing. Okay. You know what the Ben HaRosha has to know? What's the Ben HaRosha doing? This second son, he's precisely the opposite of the Chacham. The Chacham is the one who clearly stands in the midst and together with his people. He is a loyal son of the Jewish people. The Ben HaSheni, the second son, is one who is in the process of stepping out of. I want nothing to do with this. What's all of this? The matzah, the maror, the karpaz. What does it all mean? He's stepping out. He's walking out on cloudy style. You know what he needs? Or does he need a reminder? You have to remember that there is rampant anti-Semitism in the world. You think you're going to step out? Where do you think you're going to go anyway? Do you really think you're going to be able to dump your Jewish identity so that nobody ever again is going to call you Jew boy, or you will be safe from the ravages of anti-Semitism? Ben HaSheni Meiner, Zohar Sasher also Locha Molech Vaderech, remember that which our Molech did to you. And you should know just don't leave the Seder right now, just wait a little while, because you know what I'm going to tell you. V'hi shom tolach Hussein uvelonu, this is what stood us in good stead through all of history. Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Shekhol dor v'dor v'pos in every generation. Om demaleinu l'chalotenu, they arise against us to destroy us. V'akodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyodam. Do you hear, son? God is the one who saves us. And if you think, of course, well, things are different now. So the Rebbeinu sends a president of Iran that I'm ready to give a prize to anybody who knows how to pronounce his name. Right on. So I just call him. You can call him. He can call the Russia. He can call the Russia. And he says clearly, you understand, says clearly that he plans on the destruction of the state of Israel. And that he is, they are working hand in hand with Hamas. But wait a minute, don't worry. Our people over here will already turn Hamas into a warm partner. That's a Tzikishin, Mashal, who knows someplace in the world. Do I know what they're doing right now? This Jew who has strayed from Jewish belief, from Torah and mitzvahs, has to be reminded. He has to be hit over the head with the idea of Zochras Asher Osa L'cho Amalek, and it's not only in the past. That's why the Haggadah comes and says it happens in every generation. And wow, can we testify of about 3,500 years of this poor fellow, this Ben Havasha, you understand, who thinks that he's going to separate himself from the Jewish people and he's going to go merrily on his way throughout life, doesn't know what's waiting for him out there. And the only strength that we have is if we stay together. That second special Shabbos is a special Shabbos to tell this Ben Hashemi, you know, you have a month now to get your act together. You have a month now to make sure that you're going to come to the Seder. And you're not going to aggravate me or your mother at the Seder or your other siblings. You had better open up your eyes and see Jewish history. And Jewish history means current events. And I'm telling you, our boys around here don't have a clue about current events. I'm not going to go into that. You know exactly what I'm going to say. You can fill in all of the blanks. There is no understanding of Jewish history, or not much understanding of Jewish history. But all right, that's an extremely important lesson. This fellow has to be prepared for coming to the Seder. Yes?
The president of Iran is a Russia, and he's engaged in atomic things with Russia. So we have
okay, we've got two Russias in one. Very good. Okay, I thought you were going to make some kind of a political statement there which would have enraged me, but that was a fine statement. You have Russia of Iran and Putin's Russia, and you got them all together over there. And then, of course, Surya read backwards is Russia, so you have them too. What other shtick can we pull over there? They're all these Sonei Yisrael, they're all hanging up on us. And there are still people who can talk about a two-state solution, a Palestinian state, you understand, the greatest terrorist state in world history. And we're gonna throw Jews out of their homes in order to make place for these Lushoyim, the Amaleks of our time. I said it a number of times in the past, but I'll repeat it again so that even somebody who may be dreaming about being a Ben Hasheni, a second son, has got to know it, especially, you know, like the students of the Rav Soloveitchik, you understand, who misquote and abuse him day in and day out with all of their liberal, open-minded ideas about being nice to the Palestinians, you understand. So the Rav, on a number of occasions, quoted in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. By the way, I didn't think of saying this, but this is mamish. This is the pshat of the mitzvah. Zohar, remember that which Amalek did to you. The Rav's father said the following, or Rav Salavitchi said the following. The Rambam tells us that there is a mitzvah to destroy the seven nations. Knani, Hiti, Amoni, Hivi, Prizi, Yibusi, Girgashi. Destroy them. So it says in the Torah, Lo techaye kol neshama. You shall not permit any of them to live. They had an option to make peace. There was an option, and the Rambam brings it, that Yehoshua, before he entered Eretz Yisrael, he sent three separate and distinct messages calling for negotiation. And they were rejected. Calling for negotiation. Anyway, if they don't negotiate, and only one did something smart. Girgashi, the Gemara says, Girgashi Pana la Africa. Girgashi went off to Africa on his own. He committed self-transfer. Not bad. Self-transfer. And he moved to Africa. I don't know what kind of glicken he had in Africa, but anyway, he went to Africa. The other diamonds, okay? But otherwise, there's a mitzvah, lo techaye kol neshama, you're not permitted to let them leave them alive. The Rambam ends that halacha by saying three words: ukvar ovad zichron. The memory of those people has been lost. We don't know anymore who's a Kanani, who's a Chiti, who's an Amori. Why? Because Sanherev, king of Ashur, who was a world conqueror, He transferred populations. He moved populations from one place of the earth to the other. The 10 tribes whom he exiled, he took off to who knows where, someplace out there in the world. As a result of the transfer of populations, we don't know it. We haven't done it for 2,000 years. Who's a Kanani? Who's a Chiti? Who's a Mari? So the Rambam says that mitzvah simply doesn't apply anymore. It can't be carried out. Ukvar ovad zichron. We don't know who they are. The next halacha, after that, the Rambam says, the mitzvah of Zohar as Asher also lecha Amalek, you have to destroy Amalek. And of all the strange things, Rav Meshe Soloveitchik said, of all the strange things, the Rambam doesn't add the three words, Ukvar Ovad Zichron. We don't know who they are. We don't know who's an Amaleki anymore. Why does the Rambam say it with regard to the seven nations, but does not say it with regard to Amalek? So the Rav's father said, from this Rambam, we see clearly that Amalek is not biological. It's not a matter of being part of that family. Amalek is an idea. And his words are that anybody whose charter calls for the destruction of the Jewish people has a din, Amalek. That's Amalek. So maybe this Ben Hasheni, not only do you have to read to him Parashas Zohar, you also have to tell him what the law said. That it applies today. In fact, I mean, there are a lot of people competing for the title of Amalek. For that matter, you know, it's a pretty packed, crowded field over there. Okay, but that's exactly what's happening in the world today. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, anybody that can't do, every time we think of Nebuchadnezzar, that poor young man, Ilan Kalimi, went through all the Irish, the Rabbikin, of King Yiddish King Mishkazok, what terrible, terrible suffering he must have gone through. It's unbelievable. How can people do it? How can people do it? Zan Chayis Royas, the son of Chayis is a beast. The third son is the Tam. Now the Tam is not really what we think it is. You know, we get this feeling as though the Tam is slightly naive, a Nebuch, a Neb, a simpleton. No, that's not what the Tam is. The Tam in the Haggadah is, as it is used in Torah, Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim. Yaakov was a man who was full, who was complete in his serving God, Tumim. Tumim, T-E-M, Hashem, or Kefal, you should be full and complete with God, your God. This town.
Tumim means complete and not innocent.
It means complete, full.
Shalem.
For him, the parasha of Torah and Tuma is so significant. What is so unique about Parashas Torah Duma? It's there in Parashas Chukas. Zot Chukat HaTorah. This is the law, the statute of Torah. And there's the famous first Rashi over there. Chukas HaTorah represents those mitzvahs in Torah which are incomprehensible, defy logic. Even Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, said about this. The red heifer, Amarti Echkoma, I thought to myself that I am wise, V'hira Chokami Meni, but it's distant, I can't figure this out. And Rashi says, therefore, that's one of the mitzvahs, She'umos Ha'olam, that the nations of the world taunt the Jewish people and say, Matam Yeshva, what's the reason for this? What? This doesn't make any sense. But the Jew who accepts upon himself the yoke of heaven will fulfill even those mitzvahs for which there is no clear logical explanation. The town goes one step further. The town, and I'm going to describe the town in the words of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Sefer HaKuzari. He says there's a bit of a misnomer, there's a bit of a not really so clearly understood. We say that the laws of Torah are divided into chukim and mishpatim. Chukim are those that we can't understand. Torah Duma, Shatnez. I mean, there are all sorts of things that we don't understand. What's bad about the wool and linen? I know what's going to happen. The world is going to explode because you have a garment of wool and linen. We don't understand, but we keep it. And mishpatim are those laws that are logical. Lo tivnov, lo tirtzach, lo heen, and lo heshet. You shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kidnap. Everybody understands that. The town goes one giant step further. And Yehuda Halevi says in the Kuzri, the fact is that all of Torah are chukim. Even what we consider the logical parts of Torah could never be accepted by the world. An example. Do you understand? The Gemara seriously says that embarrassing somebody publicly is a form of murder. Do you hear that? A form of murder. To the extent that Tosis and Masechta Sota, I think it's Dr. Yudavis Bain, says that should be one of the avedas for which a person should give his life rather than transgress. To embarrass a fellow Jew publicly is akin to murder. I guarantee you, there isn't another code of law on the face of this entire globe that would even dream of making a statement of that sort. Because God's lo tirtzach, God's thou shalt not kill, is light years away from man's thou shalt not kill. Lo tignov, shouldn't steal. Understand? The halacha of lo tignov if it's shava pruta, it's worth a pruta. What's a pruta? I don't think you can buy anything with a pruta anymore. A paper clip is most probably worth a few prutas. Do you think that there's anybody on the face of this earth that would think taking a paper clip is geneva? Would anybody think that that's geneva? It's, I was going to say madness. No, it's divine lotignov. It's divine lotignov. Torah talks, whole series. Shochad, we talked about Shochad last week. We talked about the graft, bribery. And toward the end of the year, we never really got to the point of finishing that or really concentrating on it fully. There's not only Shochad Mammon. Shochad graft doesn't have to be money changes hand, you know, you follow the paper trail. Boy, there's so many trails in this country, you can go crazy, you understand. There are the Karen Kayanis trails, and there are the paper, the money trails around this country, you understand. But I'm not selling my apartment because I'm afraid I'll sell my apartment. I'll be investigated.
All
right.
You have to move. Maybe
I should, huh?
You have to move, not stay in.
If I sell it, I have to move. Okay. Torah says, Shochad Devarim. Words, words. My Mr. Shofet, how lovely you look today. What would a godly soul, what would he do? What would he do?
Posele
Tatzma. I cannot sit in judgment. Do you think there's another code of law on the face of this earth that would say that a real nice good morning, oh, judge that robe of yours. Ah, what a shiny robe. Because the mishpatim of God are different than the mishpatim of any other people. Every mishpat of Torah is chok as far as the nations of the world are concerned. That's what the Talmud realizes. The Talmud just wants to know mazot. Just tell me what it is. I don't differentiate between chok and mishpat, the reisid, the rabbanon, tonin, tia, I'm with you all the way. And take a look, for example, when it comes to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, it says the Shomato as hachukah hazos, you should keep this chukah miyamim yamima. Korban Pesach is a chok. I mean, it's celebrating our independence. It's Yom Ha'atzmaut. All the details of halacha chok. The chacham, the tam, for him. Zos chukas haTorah, all of Torah is a chok. And I accept it. It's kabbalas o malchus shamayim. Accepting the heavenly yoke. So the third parsha is the parsha that addresses the Tam. The fourth parsha, parsha sachodesh, is the eino yodea lishol. I think that we've sort of, you know, What has had such great impact on us, those of us anyway who grew up in the United States of America, was the Maxwell House coffee haggadah. You know, if you're not an ugly looking guy with a big cigar in your mouth, you can't be a rasha. Understand? The Tom, or the Shane Day initial, I don't remember exactly what he looked like. He most probably had a dunce cap on. And generations of American Jews that grew up with Maxwell House, Haggadahs, have a picture in their minds of these four sons. The Shane Day initial, it doesn't have to be somebody who seems to be slightly retarded or something of that sort. The Shane Day initial is simply one, for one reason or another, may never have the opportunity to learn. Or didn't learn yet. Didn't learn yet. Do you understand which parsha we read for him? The parsha that prepares the Shehi Yadei Elisho, the one that can't ask yet, you begin teaching Torah to him. What's the great famous first Rashi in Chumash? First Rashi in Chumash says, Torah should not have begun with Bereshit Bara. In the beginning God created. Where should Torah have begun? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month shall be to you the first of months. Shehi Mitzvah Rishona, it is the first mitzvah, Shehitzvahu by Yisrael, the Jews were commanded. You know what we do with the Sheni Yadei Lishol? We start teaching him Torah. The stories he heard already. Now we're going to start from the very beginning. Yingala, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. This month of Nisan is the first of months. And I don't want to repeat things that we've said in the past about the significance of that first mitzvah, the mitzvah HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem. The mitzvah HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, in few main points. First of all, it establishes, for this child, it establishes the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Do you know where the new moon is consecrated? The new moon is consecrated right over here in this city. HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, and the Rambam quotes, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah U'Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, from Tzion shall go forth Torah, the word of God from Yerushalayim. And all of our calendars that we have and that we calculate today were originally calculated right here in this city, and that's how all calendars are made throughout the world. And it also, of course, establishes the centrality of Yerushalayim, because the message, when Bedin, when the Sanhedrin decided on the new moon, the word went out from Yerushalayim. Jews throughout the world looked toward Yerushalayim for the signal that Rosh Chodesh has been consecrated. The mitzvah HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem is also the mitzvah that reiterates clearly the idea that there is a Sanhedrin, there are rabbis who bear and carry Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral law, directly from Moshe. And they're the ones who make decisions in Jewish law. Not anybody who calls himself rabbi or anybody who thinks he's a rabbi. I mean, a lot of people think they're rabbis. No. There is an authority by Klal Yisrael, and that is the Sanhedrin. There's so much in that first mitzvah, the Sheni Yadei Lishol. You start teaching him. Yingala, let's start learning Torah. So therefore I say, the four parashiyot, Shkolim, Zohar, HaChodesh, Zohar, Shkolim, Porah, HaChodesh, correspond to Chochom, Rosho, Tam, V'Shein, Yedei Lishon. Okay, next. I don't know where to go. You know what? Because I'll tell you what, I don't finish this week. We'll just, Yitz Hashem, Guzon Tate, we'll finish it next week. I'm going to go to number three. This is one of my, you see number three over there? B'nai Soskar. B'nai Soskar is one of the great, one of the Hasidic greats. I remember having heard this about 40 years ago, my oldest brother, Rav Yosef Yael, the Katzadik Baruchel, was rabbi in Worcester, Massachusetts for 36 years. And I think I've expanded it a bit in over the years. B'nai Yisoskar, and that's the way he is called, B'nai Yisoskar. I think it was Rabbi Nachum Mendel Mirimanov. The name of the sefer that he wrote is B'nai Yisoskar. So he says the following. When first man sinned, and he ate from the tree of knowledge, he was cursed. The serpent was cursed. Man was cursed. Woman was cursed. The curse to men was coats, the dardar tatsmiach lecho min ha'adoma. Coats are thorns, dardar are thistles. Don't ask me the difference between a thorn and a thistle. I'm a city boy, and I don't know the difference, but they're all sticky things that you shouldn't get your hands on. Coats with dargar taksmiach lechom and adoma, thorns and thistles are going to grow from the earth. In other words, it's going to be more difficult now, from the time that man has sinned, it's going to be more difficult to prepare the ground for plowing and planting. There will be thorns and thistles. So he said such a profound Greek word. And I say it's profound and great because one can be left with the impression that it's cute. This is not cute. This is really profound. Said the Heilige B'nai Yisrael said the following. When you write a Sefer Torah, there's one place in the Sefer Torah where you have to write, as there are different places in Torah, there are certain letters that have to be written in larger form than the others. There's a place in Torah where you have to write a large Dalet. Where do you write a large Dalet? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Dalet of Echad. You'll look in the Sefer Torah or you'll look in a Tikkun and you'll see that the Dalet is a large Dalet. A large Dalet. B'nai Yisrael goes on to say, there is another place in Torah where you have to write a large resh. Where do you write a large resh? In Parashat Ki Tisa, after the sin of the Egel, God says to the Jewish people, tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people, Lo tishtachaveh, you shall not bow down le'el achir. You shall not bow down to another god. That resh of Acher is a large resh. Meisasa says, you know why you have to write a large dalet and a large resh? Not just like John Hancock, who wrote his name on the Declaration of Independence, larger enough so that King George would be able to read his name without his spectacles. You know why you have a large Dalet and a large Reish? Because the difference between a Dalet and Reish is so minute, it's so small. The difference between a Dalet and a Reish is the right side of the top of the Dalet goes across the vertical line. If it's a resh, it comes to the vertical line and is slightly indented. It's a hairbreadth that really makes the difference between a resh and a dalet. By the way, sometimes you'll read, and if you're not close enough, you can mistake the resh for the dalet and the dalet for the resh. So he says, therefore, we dare never make the mistake of confusing a Dalet and a Resh. The Dalet represents the existence of a God, creator of the world. You know what the Resh is? The Resh is confusion. Confusion in the minds of people that there are other deities. And the other deities don't have to be Baal and Ashtaros. The other deities can be everything from money to power, all sorts of things that men worship. And whatever man worships, in a sense, removes God from his consciousness. Sadr B'nai Sasna said, the moment that first man sinned by not keeping the first commandment that God gave to him, you know what he did? He already brought the seeds of doubt and confusion into the world. And that for all of history, coats, thorns, and dardar, thistles. You know what kind of thistles we're talking about? Not only thistles that grow from the land, grow from the earth, but you know what's going to take place in history? There will be moments of Dalet and moments of Resh. moments of Dalet, moments of Resh. Now you see God, now you don't see Him. Now you see Him, now your vision is blurred. The idea of Dardar represents the confusion in the minds of people. They see God, they don't see God. They reject Him, they obey Him. That confusion entered into the world by virtue of the fact that Adam denied God that first command. And I'm only thinking now, in Hebrew, Lidarder. Lidarder means to go downhill. Down, sliding down the slippery slope. So he therefore now takes this curse, not just a physical curse, it's the direct result of the act of Adam. He has created confusion in the world. There's an Abinjong who spoke directly to you, told you don't eat it, and you did eat it. So throughout history, there's going to be the Dalet, the Resh, the Dalet, the Resh. That's what Dardar represents. Now we're going to go further. Right after Jews made the Egel and Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain, God tells him, Lech, Reid, go down, Ki Shiches Amcho, because your people have sinned grievously. You know how I learned that? God tells him, Moshe, Lech, Reid, go tell them that there's a difference between a Resh and a Dalet. They confused it. They're sliding down the slippery slope. By the way, God says the same thing to Moshe immediately before revelation at Mount Sinai. Lech, Reid, go down. You know what? And speak to the people. Do you know what God wants him to tell them? Just tell them one thing. There's a difference between a Resh and a Dalet. The God who's going to appear to you now is not only God of heaven and earth, but he's the one who took you out of the land of Egypt. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am God, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Moshe Rabbeinu and God at the snare. Moshe Rabbeinu and God at the snare. The Rebbe Yishim says to Moshe after he asks, and they're going to ask me, what is his name? Who is this God that spoke to you? Mo Omar Alein, what am I going to say to them? So God says, Eya Asher, Eya, tell them, Eya. Are the one who will be Shalchani Alechem. And then he says, listen carefully. It's there in Parashat Shmos. Ze Shemi Lo'olam. This is my name forever. The Ze Zichri. And this is how I am remembered. Ledor Dor. Now, Rashi points out over there, the word Lo'olam is spelled Lamed Ayin, Lamed Mem. Not Lamed Ayin Vav, Lamed Mem, should be La'olam. So he says, because God is telling Moshe, I am Be'ilum. Ilum means I'm concealed, I'm anonymous. You can't see me all the time. I'm not going to appear to the world or to the Jewish people time and time again in history. I'm a mystery. I am secret. I am concealed. An artist paints a picture, a magnificent canvas. World hasn't seen anything of such beauty. When he completes this great masterwork, someplace down at the bottom, he's going to sign his name. The Rebbe Yishim created the greatest work of art of all, the world. He just didn't sign his name down at the bottom. But anybody who has the eyes to see, of course this is God's world. Of course this is God's world. But I am in concealment. And then he says, Zeh Zichri, Dor Dor. Do you know how Dor Dor is spelled over there? Dalet Reish, Dalet Reish. That throughout history, now you see me, now you don't. People will see, and people will choose not to see, or won't be able to see. There will be confusion, and the challenge for you is to be able to go in there and see with clarity. That's your challenge. Zohar, Tashir also of Amalek. What does it say at the end of Parshas B'Shalach? We read that Purim day. That's the story of how Yahu Amalek. Amalek came and he waged war with the Jewish people and defeated. And Moshe is the one who says to Yoshua, Bechar lo ranoshim, choose men and go out and wage war with Amalek. I will sit at the top of the mountain, and there is Moshe at the top of the mountain with his hands lifted upward. Aaron and Hur are holding his hands up as he prays. And Yoshua and the Jewish people are fighting against the sneak attack of Amalek. And the end is that God tells him, so you call him the Sefer, I want you to write this in a book and put it into the ears of Yoshua, that there is eternal battle against Amalek that represents the forces of evil. Ki yad al keis ka, God's throne is not complete. Milchoma la Hashem ba Amalek, God wages war with Amalek. Midor, dor. Do you know how dor, dor is spelled there? Dalet Resh. Dalet Resh. What did Amalek want to do? Amalek wanted to confound and confuse and conceal that God that had revealed himself to a whole world. At the splitting of the Red Sea, Amalek is the one who brings in the sense of doubt. Doubt. So there's a battle against Amalek, Midor Dor. God will be fully seen only when evil is eradicated. As long as there's evil in the world, there will always be somebody who will say, where was God? It's only with the destruction of evil that God will be seen in all clarity. We're not finished yet. We've now moved from Kotz V'Dardar Tatsmiach L'Chola Min Adoma Leichneid Zeh Shmi Lo Lang Lezeh Zichri L'Dor Ador Milchom Al Hashem Tamolik Midor Ador. In the Megillah it says V'Hayomim Ha'ele, these days of Purim Nizkorim are remembered V'Nasim and Adam B'Chol Dor V'Dor. You know how Dor V'Dor is spelled over there? Dalet Vav Reish. Dalet Vav Reish. Why? Because that's the whole story of Megillat Esther. God's name doesn't appear in the Megillah at all. One could read the Megillah and see it as some kind of a fairy tale, beautiful story, and everybody lives happily ever after. But that's not how the Jewish people looks at it. The Jewish people see between the lines of the Megillah, God is the one who acts in concealment. And we are Megale, we reveal the Esther, we reveal the concealment of God. Therefore, you know what we're doing on Purim? By Purim, which there were no great wonders that took place, but we see it as the hand of God, step by step, from beginning to end. You know what we can see as a result of the Megillah? We see the difference between a Dalet and a Reish. We can see the difference between Dar Dar. So therefore, the Megillah is read, and we keep the mitzvahs of the Megillah, Midor Dor, from generation to generation. Ah, but there's a Vav between the Dalet and the Reish. A Vav between the Dalet and the Reish, because we're able to see the difference. So then there's only one other step we have to take. What's today? Rosh Chodesh what? Say it again.
Adar.
Adar. Do you know what the whole month of Adar is all about? The difference between a Dalet and a Reish. But you know what we do before the Dalet? We have an Aleph there. The Aleph tell us that there's the one who created it all. He's the Dalet, and everything else is the Reish. The whole month of Adar is dedicated to the idea that we should be able to either begin to see or again, teach ourselves to see that there's a Rebbeinu level all around it, and like we have to open up people's eyes. We have to tell that Ben Hashemi. Now you understand why Parsha Zohar is the Parsha of the Ben Hashemi, the second son, because the second son doesn't see the difference between the Dalet and the Reish. The second son is the one who has to be taught Yingala. Yingala, you should know there's a Rebbeinu Shalom. There's a Rebbeinu Shalom out there. I don't know, it just popped into my head just now. Something that was said a number of times by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and even it appears in a footnote in the Sefer Tikkun Emes Yaakov, written by him, put together, I believe, after he passed away. And he says that the following the Shoah, the establishment of the state of Israel, in some way saved faith by the Jewish people, because there was a brichah. People fled. Jews who had to suffer from that fled, because there was the big question: where was God at Auschwitz? But then, second thought, it seems that God is alive and well in Eretz Israel. The establishment of the state of Israel in some way stemmed the tide of that was going to overwhelm the Jewish people. Unfortunately, we find ourselves in the midst of another tide of stepping out, and so much of the stepping out is taking place right here. I think we're going to save the rest. There's a lot more we can save the rest in Yetz Hashem for next week. So basically we said that here there are the parashas, they correspond to the four sons of the Haggadah. We've talked about the significance of and the message of the month of Adar, to know the difference between the Dalet and the Reish. Okay.